my good friends. Good evening. Tonight we are joined with the producer of the Transformational Shift Events Conference, Tolik, as well as a consultant, Mr. Jim Nichols. Also, we have some of the speakers, Mark Kimmel, Mr. Stuart Swerthlow, Cheyenne Stone, Sierra Neblina, Alexandra Medors, or is it Medors? She's going to let us know, I'll tell you what. And myself. Hey, now listen, for those of you tuning in for Adana, listen, she will not be joining us this evening. She is not feeling so great, so let's all send her a light healing at this moment. This conference, folks, takes place in lovely Tucson, Arizona, October 21st through 23rd at the Doubletree Hilton Hotel. There's a total of 16 speakers, including live music, Pete Swan, Crystal Stark from the American Idol. She was one of the American Idol finalists, and Mickey Free. Now, there are going to be donations. A percentage of the proceeds from this conference will be donated to the Oglala Lakota, Pine Ridge, Rosebud Sioux, Cheyenne River Lakota, White Mountain Apache, Cherokee, and Comanche, our brothers and sisters and their children of this beautiful wild land. They deserve far better than how they have been treated to date. One more shout out, friends. Would like to thank Justin Deschamps, www.stillnessinthestorm.com, for his fab blog posts and keeping us in the know. Justin, Mr. Nichols and I will be podcasting. What? Yes, my friends, we are going to be podcasting live from Tucson, Arizona. So please stay tuned for announced times and keep an eye on our calendar at www.fulldisclosurenow.com. At this time, my friends, I'd like to bring on a groovy bean fella that you are going to know. It's Mr. Jim Nichols. Jim, how are you doing?
So far, so good. I just had my little cup of chili and yeah, I think we'll function reasonably well this evening.
Right on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not cold here. I mean, crying out loud, I only eat chili when it's hot. But I said, damn it, I like my chili. So whether it's hot or not, I'm going to have some chili tonight. So
there you go.
Yeah, here in Tucson, sunny Tucson, Arizona, it does get a little warm.
That's right. Would you like to take us in and bring on some folks?
Well, let's just, I'm not going to waste everybody's time here listening. Let's just jump right in here. I would like to invite my good friend and former Tucson resident, Mr. Tolik, who I have known for a long time. A long time. Yeah, Tolik and I used to work doing a TV show at Public Access here. But he has created this incredible conference concept, and I know he's just been working diligently and this entire year. And Tolik, can you believe it's like it's a little less than a month away, or a little more than a month away?
Yeah, we're literally right around the corner. It's a good thing I don't think about that too much.
So if you would, please, I'm going to let you introduce the conference and tell us a little bit about your concept for this.
Sure. Quite a few months ago in early 2016, someone came forward and gifted me, if you will, with some foundational money that I could do whatever. He said I could do whatever I wanted to with it, but he said, I'm going to paraphrase, you've given so much to humanity, it's time that somebody gives back to you. And I was I was really touched, and immediately the first, other than being very appreciative and thanking him, immediately the first thought that came to mind was, what can I do that's different that might have a greater impact not only around this country but maybe around the world? And Jim, if you'll remember, back in the early to mid-90s, we used to attend a lot of conferences. And I've always remembered conferences as a way to bring people together of like mind, of like interests. People can get together, and whether they're talking about higher dimensional life, or the shape of UFOs, or which color lights they blinked, and what they saw in Sedona, or what they didn't see, and et cetera. That all of that going through my mind created the idea of this conference, which is called the 2016 Transformational Shift Conference. And coming up with the name, it happened very organically. It didn't take me any work at all. It just sort of flowed out of me. And as I was trying to think of the words to describe it, those words also floated out of my fingertips as I was describing it. So for anybody that goes to the transformationalshiftevents.com website and the conferences and events button up at the top, and they happen to click on it, they'll see a number of really gifted, talented faces, including yours truly, Jim Nichols here, Grandmother Silverstar, Mark Kimmel, Tashina, Simon Parks. And the words that I wrote there are literal. We will be discussing global issues. We will have cosmic perspectives because each of the people that are coming together as speakers, as contributors for this conference, will bring their own unique insights, their own cosmic perspectives. And I wanted to make sure that this conference was not a UFO conference, but was rather a conference that addressed the whole topic of, here we are on this little blue ball with this whole diversity of life on this planet. There are people who are going to be speaking at this conference that have had an enormous amount of contact, not only with people from physical organic worlds, but people from the higher dimensions as well. And so when you have higher dimensional thought processes and ideas bleeding into this physical world, it's going to make for a very, very unique conference, because it's not a UFO conference. It's not a UFO and ET conference. It's not an experiencers conference. It's a conference about all of those topics, and more specifically, who are we and where are we headed during this time of transition, and ultimately to a transformation that I understand is supposed to happen on this world. I'm doing a lot of work to prepare for this conference, but I have help. Cheyenne Stone, who you'll get a chance to hear from, has been of enormous research and marketing help. I will tell you, Jim, that we just learned from Atreya, who I knew years ago during the time of UFOAZ. We talked for the first time in probably 10 or 15 years. She's going to reach out. She has a store. She used to have the Angel Store across the street from TCCC, and she now has something called, I think it's Spirit's Child. She's going to be telling all of her people in Tucson, and that's 2,000 people, 2,000 people plus. So we're reaching across the country. We're reaching across the world. I can tell you in summary that we have people coming in from England. We have people coming in from Australia. There's a couple coming from Australia who've never left Australia before. And they're coming to this conference because we have Grandmother Silverstar, who is a Lakota, Cherokee, and two other Native American races. We have Tashina, who's Arcturian and Apache. We have a couple of other individuals that decidedly have Native American heritage in them. Those people are leaving Australia to come to this conference because of the blend of the topics and also of the Native American wisdom that we brought in as additional insight. So I'm doing this very much in an ad hoc basis, but in terms of me talking about this right now. But I think the best thing I can do is let the people who will be speaking at this conference, speak up and share their views and what they know. In closing, I can tell you that from my heart, every time I look at this particular page, the conferences and events page, and I see all the faces of the speakers that have said, yes, I'll participate, I get a really deep and warm smile, because everyone on this page has a great smile on their face, and they all overwhelmingly said, yeah, of course. So I think I've said enough as preparatory remarks, and I think the most important gentleman to bring on, at least at this moment in this conversation, is Stuart Swerdlow, because of a tight schedule he has. Mm-hmm. So Stuart, if you're ready and willing, why don't you hop in here?
Hi, Tolik and everybody, and it's nice to meet all of you, and I look forward to meeting you all in person.
Welcome, Stuart.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, and I'm not actually giving a presentation there, but I was asked to be on a council or a table to answer Q&A of the audience and I guess of everyone. And so I'm not sure if anyone knows about my background or not. I did spend 13 years at the Montauk Project from 1970 to 1983. And that project was about initially mind control and programming, and then it led into esoteric weaponry, weather control, time travel, and even going into genetic manipulation and that type of thing. So I was involved in that for 13 years. I have a couple of books out about that, and there's a movie out now about that called Montauk Chronicles, which perhaps you can all watch that. The reason I was chosen for that project was because of my family background, which is not a pleasant thing to discuss, but it's a reason why I was chosen and why I do the work I do today. Some of you may know that my great uncle Yakov Sverdlov was the first president of the Soviet Union, and his son Alexei was the one who created the KGB. And so my family was involved very heavily into Soviet politics for a number of years. My other great uncle Yakov's brother Benjamin Sverdlov was actually the one who brought mind control and programming to the Soviet Union in the 1930s, so that in effect, the Soviet Union in those days was the first major nation on the planet to have implemented a national mind control program. And during the war, during World War II, my grandmother was a Soviet spy, but I always tell people to remember that in those days, the Soviet Union and the United States were on the same side. So she was actually doing work to eliminate the Nazis, and thankfully both sides were very successful. And so it was because of all of that that my father in this country was used also in experiments and secret projects near El Paso, Texas. And when I was born, he was followed for at least 3 years by Secret Service. And he was even asked to work in NASA when that started in the late 1950s. So a lot of interesting, not so nice history of my family. Unfortunately, you know, my great uncle Yakov was a very strong dictator, and he actually ordered the assassination of the Tsar and his family in the city of Yekaterinburg in the Ural Mountains, and because of that, the province and the city was renamed to Sverdlovsk. And he had also, during the course of the revolution and after the revolution, executed over 1 million people in the Soviet Union. So I have traveled across Russia over the years and have apologized on behalf of my family for what my great uncle has done. And the Russian people have been very friendly. They have been very forgiving. And I'm very popular in my work in Russia. And so what I do now, because of that background and because of the background at the Montauk Project, it's been my obligation and my goal to teach people, whoever is willing to listen, about what is going on in this world, what is happening with the control systems, the mind control, the programming, the alien agenda, the Illuminati, everything that is happening to put people in a prison of sorts. And my work involving hyperspace and deprogramming and release work and connecting to the God mind and the Oversoul, all of this is designed to help people remove the negativity and the victimization mind patterns so that they can free themselves and teach other people how to free themselves so that all 8 billion people on this planet can finally turn this world into the paradise that it's supposed to be. And so hopefully I'll be able to get at least some of that information across during my time in Tucson. And actually right after Tucson, I'll be heading back to Europe. We here at Expansions and the speedstar.com.pl we're doing also a global conference in Warsaw every year. Called Exposing the Truth Conference, October 29th. And, of course, everybody all over the world is welcome to attend in Warsaw, Poland.
I would like to say fantabulous, and I can't wait to meet you in person, Stuart.
Well, I can't wait to meet all of you.
And I do. Well, your website is www.expansions.com, is that correct?
That's correct. And okay. Also my European one is speedstar.com.pl.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Stuart. I just want to let you know that there's at least 25 people here in Tucson that I just, we did an all-afternoon presentation on the Montauk experiment, the Montauk mystery, in which you featured prominently. So I know at least 25 people here in town that really would like to hear you. So I'm sure they're looking forward to seeing you, Stuart. Thank you.
That's excellent. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, Mr. Tolak, who's next on our agenda here?
I believe the most appropriate next person would be Mark Kimmel, one of our two keynote speakers. Okay. Mark, you're there?
I am here.
Yay.
It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Thank you. This is. I'm really looking forward to this conference. You have a nice mixture of speakers. Quite a challenge for me at this moment to follow Stuart. He's got a wonderful story, and I look forward to hearing more about that. For those of you that don't know me, I have a business background. I was in the business world for about 30 years, and then I underwent a personal transformation, and all of a sudden I went 180 degrees, and I'm now doing the work that I've been doing for about 20 years. And the work that I do is to talk about transformation. So I talk from the point of view of my own personal transformation. I have published 7 books. My latest book is Icebreakers. It's been out now just a couple of weeks. One of the things I have been gifted is that I have had about 10 years worth of conversations with extraterrestrials, with a group from Andromeda. And most recently, I now have a quite a long history, not long, but very intense, I should say, over these past few years, speaking with the archangels. So I have been able to mix the viewpoints of those two. And it's very interesting. My understanding at this moment is that we are dealing with a spectrum, in that the non-physicals, like the archangels, have a very, very high consciousness, and slightly less consciousness is groups of ETs like those from Andromeda. And then, of course, on the lower scale of consciousness is those of us here on this planet. So I'm going to be talking about the bigger picture from a non-physical point of view. I will talk about our biological heritage and the fact that we have had extraterrestrial influence as well as influence by the non-physicals for over the past million years. And it's a very interesting back and forth, up and down, to result in our current physical form. That has nothing to do, of course, with our non-physical form. There we have to go and look at things from an energy point of view. We're really quite complex, you know. We have various bodies associated with us, non-physical bodies. We have the etheric body, of course, which is where the chakras are. these all play together and create, I think, very beautiful, beautiful human beings. So now back to the whole subject of transformation. It'll be interesting because I think we're going to have several different points of view as to exactly what this transformation is all about, both personal and as for a planet. My personal view of what the Earth is going to look like out in the future is that we are going to return Earth to where she was many, many eons ago, which is a semi-physical existence. My understanding is that that's where Earth started. It was thrust into a very dense, what we call third dimension, and we are now slowly climbing out of that density and the darkness and the fear and all the violence and everything else that goes with it. And so we are going slowly and returning ourselves to a beautiful, non-physical existence based on love and unity with everyone, not only on this planet, but all those within our universe, as well as the non-physicals. So that's what I'll be talking about. I've been talking about it for 20 years now, but I'm getting additional information all the time, and I'll be sharing that with you. So I'm really looking forward. This should be a wonderful conference. I'm looking forward to hearing the other speakers. It's always wonderful to hear other points of view. And so that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Mark, I have a question for you real quick here. The books that you've published, are these research books or are these novels? Could you tell us a little bit about your books?
There are 7 books. 3 of them are based on story form, in that I find it's much easier to convey information when I allow people to experience what it is that I'm trying to convey. So I tell stories, and mixed in those stories are the lessons I'd like people to understand and to experience. The other books are non-physical or non-fiction. They are based on my personal experiences, based on my conversations with the extraterrestrials and the archangels.
Well, can you tell us specifically what titles the personal books are?
Well, the first book was Trillion. Came out in 2002.
Now, this is one of your personal stories, yes?
No, the personal stories are Transformation, which is a collection of all my conversations with the extraterrestrials. I have a book called Birthing a New Civilization, which is kind of like a small handbook based on my experiences. And then my latest book there is Chrysalis, which is my personal conversations, my personal experiences. You know, and one of the experiences that maybe you can relate to is that I had the opportunity to go to the airport vortex in Sedona. And I think a number of people have been to that airport vortex. Mm. So we arrived there at the welcoming site, and there's a big map there that shows, well, here's the different trails and that type of thing. And all of a sudden, something grabbed me. And I mean physically grabbed me to where I had absolutely no control other than to stumble along a trail. And I was pulled upward at a point and was basically said, here, stand here. And now this has happened several times to me where I've had this overwhelming physical presence directing me to go somewhere, do something. But this was very powerful. And what they said is, okay, look out. And at that moment, they said, everything that we have told you over these last few years, it will all come true. We want you to know that. It may not come true exactly the way you have experienced it or the way you think it's going to happen, but a few years down the road, it will be true. And indeed, that is what is happening. I'm watching it happen. I'm watching the personal consciousness raise in the population. Of course, the darkness is raising and kicking up as well. But so we have elevation of both the light and the dark. I think people would find that the story is interesting, the story basis, because it allows people to actually experience what it's like to live at a higher consciousness.
Very good. Thank you.
Fabulous. And for folks that are just tuning in, the person that you just heard speaking was Mark Kimmel. He's the keynote speaker at Transformational Shift Events. If you're curious what we're doing here at FDN, we are doing a pre-special show for the conference that's taking place October 21st through the 23rd. It is called Transformational Shift Events, and that is at www.transformationalshiftevents.com. And I wanted to give a shout out, Mark, for your website as well. It's www.markkimmel.com, correct?
Correct.
Woohoo! Yes. All right,
sir. Mr. Tolek, next contestant, please.
Yvonne, do you think we ought to hear from one of our women guests?
I think so.
By all means.
All right.
Okay. Cheyenne, are you available?
Cheyenne is here. How am I?
Fabulous.
Hello. No, how are you?
Wow, hard act to follow, you men.
Yeah, well.
That's a tough one.
No, you're...
Cheyenne, you're fine. You bring it, baby. You're a woman.
Well, I don't have any books to sell, and I don't have a website live yet. However, I've been pushed and prodded into creating that reality, so that will be coming. The work I present live to the public right now is through my guided study groups for a modality of energy work called quantum techniques. How did I get here? Let's see. I was born in a central location, rather modest and quite humble, on Olis. And my earliest recollections is being in the land of the men of black. It was quite common for someone to knock on the door with dark sunglasses and a suit and say, "Don't come out of your house tonight." And the houses were, where I grew up, the houses were 5 miles apart. So that was some work for these guys. I grew up with my grandfather's spirituality, half European, half Native American, Choctaw and Shawnee. I was abandoned or denied access to my Red Road family. So I was originally raised European. But my grandfather's spirituality was very, very red. Very Native. And I'm very blessed with that. It's sustained me through a lot of dark moments. My earliest memories is being attacked before I ever entered the wound. I was seen as a great enemy coming here. I was attacked before the wound, in the wound, and ever since. Until a certain point when I was no longer a threat. My earliest first visit in the flesh were reptilians who could not touch me, but they worked through my mother, and they couldn't, for some reason, attack me directly, and they were not my allies. They brought their reality with them, their, I'll say, multidimensional interstellar reality, like we take a submarine in the ocean, and it was very uncomfortable, and would cause temporal lobe seizures and other things, and make me basically unable to physically escape during the times and I just kind of had to watch what was going on. My later remembrances and interactions have all been with higher dimensional interstellar beings. I don't know if I should call their transportation physical or not. I mean, these are some of the questions that I just don't have any science for. My family member, a close family member in my home, ended up being involved in military projects. I grew up with people in Halliburton in the oil industry, so it was guns, wills, and drugs was one of the gods in my house. That led me to being in electronics. I worked on SDI at University of Texas in the physics department. I worked on thermoelectric heat pumps. I worked on fiber optics. I worked on microwave circuitry, destructive testing of CMOS, a lot of engineering and technology. It was many years after I left that industry that I started to understand what some of that was used in, and I don't believe it was the F-16s we were told about, nor the space shuttle. I've been piecing together the mysteries of life, and for some reason now I'm being asked to share experiences. I really appreciate what Mark said. I think that we truly only gain wisdom through experience. We can glean sometimes bits and pieces through listening and reading, but it's the experiential shamanic transformations that truly have converted my life from a life of victimhood to victory, and given me the strength and the courage to declare dominion and insist upon something different. I haven't always welcomed the communications the way some people have. Most of them have been very prophetic and very uncomfortable to know what is coming before it happens. I've never needed to read newspapers. I've always had, tragically, the experience and the knowledge of what's coming before it occurs when there's a great suffering on the planet. So I haven't always been welcoming to those who send me information. But other times it's beautiful, it's transcendent experiences. So those are the things I have not shared. I've kept them close to the chest because of my early life and all of the times that just being here has been a dangerous reality. That's not an excuse, it's just the way it was. I had children, and I had to survive for their benefit. So now I'm, I guess, coming down off the mountain and entering the marketplace again. And this time I have stories to tell. That's kind of it.
That's a whole lot. Oh,
thank you, Cheyenne. Life. Cheyenne, where exactly, when the men in black came and knocked on your door, where were you living at that time?
My grandfathers worked for Baird and Sun Oil.
Okay.
Both, I grew up with my maternal grandfather. Mm-hmm. And he was what they call a lease man. He had been a rigger, and as he got older, he was a very much a company man and was offered a lease. And we were about 28 miles as the crow flies from the back door of the very first Halliburton building ever built in Duncan, Oklahoma. Stevens County, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Stevens County, yeah. Okay. Halliburton was born. All of my family members at some point worked for Halliburton. I have a cousin who's an aeronautical engineer, major in training astronauts at NASA, and she ended up retiring back to Halliburton, and she has a lot of patents with them. Guns, oils, and, you know, gun, oil, and drugs. That's the god of this. And so that was how...
Those are the boys that make the world go round these days. Yeah. Thank you.
I just applied for jobs in the newspaper like any 18-year-old when I was young. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked in some very early big names coming out of what I now know were some interesting... Benny Prothro, LJ7, Barry Cash, some of those guys they came to work one day at Texas Instruments and there was police tape on their doors.
Mm.
And I was hired at 17 by that group, the first CMOS in Texas that they developed. So I spent a lot of time in that industry.
Thank you. I think you and Yvonne are going to have a lot of interesting stories to share.
I'm thinking too.
And also what she didn't go into is that during that period of her life when Cheyenne was attacked brutally, she had, and Cheyenne, correct me if I'm wrong, but you experienced 4 or 5 strokes.
Oh, that's the most recent wave fun. I was in Texas and I started having visions and dreams that if I stayed where I was, that I was going to be shot in the head. And more than likely, I was being shot in the head with some type of advanced weapon. Somebody had it out for me. They thought I knew something that I didn't know I knew. And so I got the heck out and moved across the country to the middle of nowhere. And as soon as I got out of that environment, I collapsed and had 5 strokes in 9 months, and I had what they call massive cellular degeneration. Was the closest that they could diagnose I've ever seen. Okay. 17.
Right, my word.
Basically, all the cell structure of my organs and body had disintegrated, and I was having, you know, like in the 10-minute period, I could have 600 new bruises. And those blood clots were getting, you know, strained. And yeah, I had some really good doctors do some really miraculous things to save me. And I still got a lot of higher dimensional work done on me all night, every night. I'd wake up, my sheets would be so hot, I'd be afraid they were going to self-ignite.
Yeah.
Some people working on me and beings working on me. But I'm still here, and I'm pretty stubborn, and I'm pretty passionate. And
absolutely.
I apologize if that offends anyone.
Gee, where have I heard that before? Huh?
No, it's going to be an absolute honor to be sitting with you, Cheyenne, and meeting you in person.
It's such an honor to meet all of you and to be part of this. I just feel like I'm floating. So thank you.
Excellent. Oh, and Cheyenne, I do want to let people know your website as well, because you do the quantum techniques, correct?
The work that I've been honored, I have a transitional job where I'm still very much the engineering techie person, but I'm doing that. I've been doing that since 2004 for a group of doctors. It's called Quantum Techniques. And I'm actually now being pulled in to teach this modality. So I'm having to revisit all the content I've been publishing over the years. I've been their content manager. And so that's quantumtechniques.com. And I do occasionally show up on the calendar. I'm supposed to be doing more of that. I've just been a little busy. But yeah, so I am going to have a website. It's just not public yet, you know, in regards to other topics.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I think that hearing Cheyenne might be a really wonderful segue to Sierra's own story, given what she went through and the 25% of her brain that got taken out. Wow. Sierra?
Well, let's let the ladies take over the show here. For sure.
Hello. It is so incredibly wonderful to be here. Thank you so much. Cheyenne, we have a lot of similarities. I can't wait to talk to you, sister.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be so exciting.
Thank you. Really excited about really being in the presence of all the speakers that are going to be there. I think we're all going to have our own unique experience. I'm really looking forward to it. So how I got here, I'm trying to make this as quick and concise as we possibly can. Hindsight, I do understand that I volunteered to come to the planet. And at this time, I was a Pleiadian ambassador on a science ship and chose to come down onto the planet because of the timeline, what we could see potentially happening in the timeline, and because of the choice that Gaia, the planet herself, was making towards a physical ascension. And so because of the direct manipulation and control systems that have just gotten, quite frankly, out of control, and we could see that coming, a bunch of us volunteered to jump in from, not insinuating one dimension is better or less than the other, but a higher dimension reality, to come in the physical being with our stardust, our being, who we were before we came in, and grounding a very particular light or energy or frequency on the planet to help speed up and to help wake people up fast. And so I came in with gifts activated, and some of this I chose, and some of it happened because of the mother I chose to come in through. Happened to be in a situation where she was in a Zeta hybridization situation. Her mother had been taken, and she had also been taken, and so me coming in through the third wave would eventually be intended to be the carrier of the hybrid child, and that happens later in life. But I came in with my gifts turned on. I remember being in the womb. I have a lot of clear memory of everything happening. And much like you, Sister Cheyenne, I have had prophetic dreams my entire life, starting from the age about 2 or 3, seeing the direction that the planet was going on certain timelines and what was happening in those timelines. I would have dreams of things that would happen with great loss of life before it happened. And as you probably understand this, Cheyenne, in the dream state, or however it is that you experience, and the way I experience is that there's no separation between me and the people, so I literally experience everything viscerally that's happening. And so starting at 3, that was a bit much. And then I happened to be in a situation where, I was a week old, my mother started hitchhiking, and she didn't know who my father really was when she became, she was sought after when she was 16, and by an officer out of McCoy Air Force Base in Orlando. And she became pregnant, and she went to tell him that she was pregnant. He was gone, and they said that he had been transferred, and it was top secret. So the particular situations growing up that she got myself and my 5 other brothers and sisters, I'm the eldest, became a survivalistic type of situation. It was bad choices and some pretty extreme events that happened, some pretty extreme abuse. But in between all of that, at the beginning, when I was 5 years old, my mother met another man when I was 4, and his father was an admiral in the Navy in Orlando. And I was over at his house one day, and I was talking to him, and I was really starting to like my new dad, and I was really, he was in the Army, and I really loved my grandfather, and I started sharing with him my dreams. And before you know it, men showed up, and they started testing me. And I didn't understand exactly what had happened, or actually I had a memory package that unlocked when I listened to Corey Good's very first interview, when he talked about being tested for the Super Soldier program. Everything, something unlocked, and about a dozen memory packages unlocked at the same time. And this was the beginning of the year last year, and it was pretty unnerving, to say the least. And it actually gave me more information, and then I started talking with Captain K, Randy Kramer, and he started bringing a lot of some of the things that happened through my life, and especially recently, into light, tying it into the secret space program. And so, let me rewind just a tiny bit. I was tested. I was then taken out of school. I was 5 into 6 years old. I was made to do remote viewing. I was trained. I already knew how to do it. And when I refused to work on certain projects, they would do horrible things to animals. So as a kid that was very empathic, I just couldn't take it and would end up doing all their tests and all of their things. And so because my mother wasn't stable, decided to take us kids and flee in the night, it would be a while before those men caught up with me. But I don't think I was really ever out of their radar for very long. The first time I remember the men in black showing up, it was actually a woman, and she pulled up in Arizona. I started on the East Coast, and we ended up fleeing all the way across the United States because of the abuse that was happening, and they were trying to get away from social workers who eventually did catch up with us and remove us from the home. But I was sitting in a playground, and a woman got out of a black Porter sedan, walked over to me. She was dressed in black with a black skirt, and her hair was up. She walked up to me. I was sitting on the swing set, and she telepathically asked me if she could sit down, and I answered she could do whatever she wanted. And then she sat down, and we started to have a conversation, part verbal and part telepathic, mostly telepathic. And she wanted to let me know that if it got too bad, they would remove me. And I would assume it was the abuse. And so at 9, we were taken away and put into foster care. And I wouldn't see the Men in Black again until I was 24 years old. I went into high school, had a lot of prophetic dreams, really focused on being an athlete. I was being scouted by the Olympics for basketball, and it was my passion, my thing. I went off to college and got injured on a scholarship and decided, well, maybe I should join the Army. And I don't know where in the heck that came from until later on I realized it was a programming thing. And I went and joined the Army just in time for Desert Storm, for which I was hauled off to. When I came back, I wasn't interested in being a college student. I was very angry. I was very upset, and I was suffering from some pretty bad PTSD. I'm in Colorado Springs out processing, and I was with my partner in our apartment and woke up, and there was Azada in my room. Because I was constantly looking for answers with my abilities and my severe empathic, I would go to women's groups, and I was a part of a women's group in Manitou Springs after I had just found my biological mother again and realized, and she told me that I was Native, that my great-grandmother was a Cherokee shaman, and that the gift ran in the family, and that we were some kind of dream people, is what she kept saying. And I didn't understand later until I found out about the Dreamwalkers. So I went to my women's group after having a night of being paralyzed and a bunch of situations like my girlfriend being put to sleep on the toilet and a friend being put out on the couch whenever she heard something or felt like something was wrong. My friends told me, after explaining to them my circle, that this was a Zeta thing, it was a soul contract, and I wanted to know how to break it. So for 4 months, we succeeded in psychically shielding me and moving me around because I wanted to keep the child, and nobody had the authority nor my permission to impregnate me and then take it. So they probably didn't expect me to wake up in the middle of it, but because my gifts are so turned on, it happened. So 4 months into it, I woke up and the baby was gone. And I was extremely upset and angry, then depressed, and then overwhelmed. And then I got really angry because I thought that my women's circle had psychosomatically tricked me into this and that I had done this to myself. And it was just incredibly horrible. And then I got to the point where I was angry again, and I started asking everyone in my unit because I was told that this was some kind of agreement with the government in exchange for technology, and how dare they? So I made enough phone calls, and this is before the internet, and enough phone calls and enough, that the Men in Black showed up again and took me into NORAD, and I was in there for 8 hours. And so the quick version of it is I was shown aircraft that I barely saw. I was too tripped up on the fact that one of the Men in Black was definitely not from this planet and was the most powerful empath that I'd ever encountered in my life, which was very disturbing for me. I was basically marched through NORAD, many different levels. I had the schematics in my head. I didn't realize that I was the only one with this. I thought that I was the one with the information about the underground base because I did my tracking. I was trained in the military very well, and I did my steps, and I did my counts, and I could lay out the entire thing. It was on Ancient Aliens. Somebody had put it up, and it was accurate, and I was really excited that somebody had finally said, this is the front of NORAD, but this is the actual back half of NORAD. So I was shown beaming technology. A scientist beamed a Pepsi can from one side of the room to the other, and this was 1994. And then I was taken and shown a 6-foot-tall dead Zeta, And then I was taken into a room for which I thought I was going to be killed, and a man entered and started naming off all my family and my adopted family and my biological family, and was threatening me to stop digging and stop looking and stop asking questions. And I didn't find out until later, and it was confirmed with Randy Kramer's information of what how he was dressed, is that person that came in was a high-ranking official of the Secret Space Program. Then I had another memory package unlock, because this was definite. I've had definite times, periods of times where they've come and got me and done light and injections, and they're retraining, they're redoing something. And so a memory package unlocked where I was staring straight ahead, and the same man that scared me for so many years, I went on the run. I mean, it scared me so badly when I got out of NORAD that I wouldn't have a checking account. I barely had a driver's license. And I was a carpenter, and I just went from town to town, and I went on this whole spiritual quest, and I was trying to figure out, it's like I took all that happened and I shoved it way down. Like, I never wanted to have to deal with it ever again. It was a horrible, horrible experience. Mm-hmm. So, fast forward, had a great life, became a very successful builder, and started stroking one day and died. Mm-hmm. And they had to start my heart again. And this was in 2007. And I had already been working as a medicine person in Summit County where I lived. And I worked with a search and rescue, and I would help them find people and so on. So when I was able to remember, because I had over 25% of my brain damaged, and I woke up with left side paralysis and I couldn't speak. It was the second time in my life I was told I'd never walk again. I came back, but when I went over to the other side, I made an agreement, because they said that my mission wasn't complete and I had to still be here physically because of the energy vibration I carry. And they said, but because of the damage and the timeline that we had to make and time for the shift, that a walk-in was going to take my place. And I said, no, nobody's going to finish my job. Have you seen my life? I'm going to do this. I'm going to see it all the way through. And so there was much conversation and debate and planning, and they were going to do something that they didn't think was going to work because it hadn't really been done well before. But we were all going to make this big sacrifice, and we were going to do a braided walk-in. We're going to have my soul and the soul that was going to come in and raise my vibration so that I could heal quickly.
Oh, wow.
Come in.
Okay.
So I did that very rapidly for a year, excruciating migraines and headaches. And at the same time, all kinds of strange things started happening in the house. There was a lot of high strangeness. I was freaked out. I went to the PRF in Denver, and I found several different people that ended up helping me and leading me to somebody who said, oh yeah, you're a walk-in. Wow, what's that? I mean, first it was like the dead people, and then the angels, and then now it's aliens, come on, you know, the galactics, as I understand now, and basically just my soul family for which I left to come down here to volunteer. So we come full circle. And there are a lot of things that I have to share and a lot of things I want to talk about, and a lot from the Super Soldier program to several other really intense things that have happened in the last couple of years, including being recruited to be on a time repair squad because of the training I am, and as the dream walker and the ability to astral project and so on. I became trained in time travel, and we went back and did timeline repair. We've been doing that for the last couple of years. It's been pretty intense. And so I'm extremely excited to be at the conference.
Absolutely.
And my book will be published by then, and I am really excited about sharing my story and getting it out there and helping
people. This has been, whoa, such an honor to be listening to your story, and I'm starting on my end, you know, after listening to Cheyenne and to you, Sierra, I know Mr. Nichols back there, you're thinking too, and I'm like, very interesting how all of us women are starting to talk about our brain commonalities here of instances that happened with our brains. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And folks are asking, and folks, if you're tuning in here, welcome to Full Disclosure Now. We were just listening to Sierra Neblina. And Sierra, would you like to tell folks about your website, please?
Yes. Galactic U is GALACTIC, and then letter U like Uenta.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. Jim, I'm reading that you're chomping at the bit just to say something before we go to break here.
Actually, I don't know what to say. I have been working with Yvonne since February, trying to help piece her story together. And what I'm hearing here from these fine ladies is it's like variations on the same theme. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of blown away by this here. This is extraordinary. But I think we need to come up on a break here.
Yep. Yes, okay. This is what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take a break. Now, before we go to break, I just want to tell you, because I'm seeing folks coming on in the chat. If you're just tuning in, again, this is Full Disclosure Now. I'm your host, Yvonne Palermo. We are joined with a packing, wildly fantastic bunch of folks tonight that you are listening to the speakers that are going to be at the Transformational Shift Events Conference, October 21st through 23rd in Tucson, Arizona. While we go to break, I am going to play music from the conference, and I do want you to check out the website. Get your tickets. I want you to come and learn and grow with us. It is www.transformationalshiftevents.com. Tonight on the mics this evening, we heard Stuart Swertlow. We've heard from Mark Kimmel. We've got the producer, Tolek, one of the co-producers, Jim Nichols. We have Sierra. We have Cheyenne and Alexandra and myself. And what I'm going to do right now is we're going to play some music. We're going to take a little over a five-minute break. We're going to play Land of Fire. It was written by Steve Mespol. I hope that's how you say it, by his band Wind Machine. We also have a song called, and Tolek, you could probably help me with the pronunciation. Is it Kahaley? Kahaley?
That's good.
That's
enough.
Good?
Yes.
Okay, Kahaley from the album Land of Dakota, and that is by Mato Wasteka. Is that how you say it? I want to learn how to say these names. They're beautiful.
It's the Lakota derivative of the original Dakota language. So it's Mato Wasteka Chande Danka.
Oh, I love this. Wastechaka. Okay, thank you. So we are going to go to break, my friends, and I hope you stay tuned in and listen to the beautiful music. Here we go. All right, folks, welcome back, welcome back. You are tuned into Full Disclosure Now. That's right. Check out our website at www.fulldisclosurenow. I am your host, Yvonne Palermo. Tonight, we have a magnifico roundtable. That's right. We are discussing the Transformational Shift Events Conference taking place next month. I want you to go check out the website, www.transformationalshiftevents.com. We are giving you a little sneakity peeky tonight. That's right. It's Jim Nichols, Tolek, Mark Kimmel, Stuart Swerdlow, Sierra Niblina, Cheyenne Stone, Alexandra Medors, and myself. And oh my gosh, the first hour, if you missed it, please do not fret, because right after the show tonight, it goes to an automatic archive. So, you know, just hit that replay, no problem. So welcome back, everybody, and I hope you had a good break. And that music that you supplied me with was wonderfully beautiful, and that is from those are from the musicians from the conference, correct, Tolek?
Not the musicians from the conference, but the kind of music that people will hear. Definitely that kind of energetic, upbeat tempo, lively, energetic is about the best way I can say it. And Crystal Stark, who was in fact an American Idol finalist, if you closed your eyes, you'd almost think you were hearing Whitney Houston sing. Crystal has an amazing set of pipes, gifted, talented singer. She will be joining Pete Swan's band and singing at least 5, 6, or 7 songs. I'm not exactly sure, but the conference on Saturday night, we're going to open up the tickets, making tickets available to the Tucson public, and I'm working with a radio station to get some good promotional work out of that as well. So it's going to be hopping in Tucson Saturday night at the conference, that's for sure.
Oh, it'll be happening Friday night. That's because it starts Friday, too. It'll be happening.
Well, yeah, and thanks for bringing that up. The Friday night situation is a little different. Actually, it's vastly different because Grandmother Silver Star, who is a Lakota, Cherokee, and 2 other Native American races combined, she will be offering up the formal, if you will, conference opening remarks. And I'm pretty sure that we'll be taking a break for supper, but right after her to continue with, because 2 or 3 Native American people will have spoken during that day on Friday. And so on Friday evening, from Sedona, we have coming down Mickey Free. Mickey is a Comanche, Cherokee, blended Native American. He was one of the lead band members, most people don't know this, of the band Shalimar. He has a Grammy Award under his belt and 5 Native American Music Awards. He will be playing Friday night for all of us at the conference. He'll be playing the Native American flute for about an hour and a half or so. So it's going to be a special, very, very special day with the Native American people presenting during the day, Grandmother Silver Star presenting Friday night, and then Mickey Free playing for us on Friday evening.
Wonderful.
You know, I know that I've said this in different ways, but I really do. I feel really, really blessed to have all of you here with me, with Jim, with Yvonne tonight, to have you coming to this conference. I literally get chills when I think about the kinds of people that we'll be having, that we'll be joined together at this conference. As we were jokingly talking and laughing over the break, there's not much sleep that's going to be had at this conference with all the people that are going to be staying up at night drinking coffee and talking. And it's usually the best part of the conference, or one of the best parts, is all the intimate stories that we share of our lives.
Absolutely.
So for the people that don't know about this conference yet, here we go. It is the 2016 Transformational Shift Conference taking place in Tucson, Arizona, the weekend of October the 21st through the 23rd at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel over on Alvernon. And just for anybody that is acutely aware of Tucson and the desert, and I think, Jim, you can testify to this, third weekend of October, it should be, what, 82, 84 degrees, dry, comfortable? Is that about right?
With any luck at all.
All right, maybe 86.
With any luck at all, you know, they had to move the Celtic Festival back way into November because it was too hot to do it in October anymore. So with any luck at all, it should be comfortable in October. So we're going to hold that thought, okay?
Yeah, all right. And but we'll be inside. It's air conditioned, has a pool.
Right.
But amazing conference. Truly, truly gifted people. And on July the 16th, I initiated, upon advice of a couple of people who I listened to, a halfway to conference discount special. So if people go to the conferences and events button on the website, they will see, and if they also go to the tickets webpage of the website, they will see, if you buy one ticket at full price, you get the second ticket half price. If you buy two tickets, you being the audience, if you buy two tickets, you get the third ticket for free. Over and above this, even if you looked at the pricing for the overall conference at a straight rate, I still did my best to price this conference. If you do the math, it's very reasonable on a day-by-day basis, especially given the speakers that we're going to be having here at this conference. So I not only priced it very reasonably to have as many people attend as possible, but I've also provided a discount because, quite honestly, these are hard times for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a tough time, not economically, for a lot of people. So I wanted to make sure that I gave everybody the greatest opportunity to be able to afford this conference and to come. And I mentioned we've got people coming from Hawaii, people coming from Australia. We have people. Sierra, I mentioned that one of the women that we met in the Denver area 2.5 weeks ago at the Near Death and Paranormal group, 35 people plus, Nancy Grignon, she will be at the conference on Sunday. She's likely going to participate in the speakers group as well. So we have people from coast to coast coming to this conference, and Mark Kimmel can tell you that he's got people coming in. So I would encourage everybody to check out the transformationalshiftevents.com website and click on the conferences and events page, and virtually everything that you need to know about this conference will be found there.
Fantabulous.
And in closing, for any people that might be in Tucson listening to this recording, I'm personally going to invite, on behalf of Jim Nichols and a few other Tucson folks, anybody from the Unity Church or the Universalist Church or St. Francis in the Foothills, the kind of topics that we're going to be talking about, those people very much appreciate. So the more the better. The more people that come and not only listen but participate, the more the better.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And who are we bringing in next? Mr. Nichols, who are we bringing in next? I got to get my names here.
Well, I think Mr. Tolek needs to introduce Alexandra.
There you go.
Well, I'd be happy to do that. I don't know that Alexandra needs a big introduction. She is quite famous across the country. Her website is galacticconnection.com. And Alexandra can tell you about her experiences with Tori Smith, and she can also tell you about her own interdimensional experiences where she and some others have done some work higher dimensionally, addressing and fixing some timelines on her own. So with that as an intro.
We appreciate Alexandra as an extraordinary show host. She has her own extraordinary radio show host, which I've been lucky enough to be participate, but we haven't heard Alexandra's story herself. So let's hear that.
Well, thanks, Jim, and thanks, Tolek. I appreciate that. Where do I begin? I rarely do this, but to just give people a little bit of a prehistory before I dove into Galactic Connection, I grew up in a military family. My father was a fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force, and I come from a very long line of military. My grandfather was a commanding officer and also a colonel and also a fighter pilot. and was, you know, I grew up in an environment where it was just very normal for this kind of conversation about the crazy things that they did and the crazy special ops missions that they went on. And it was a very normal part of my life to hang out with my father and all of his colleagues who were typically sharing stories of what was going on. And to grow up in that environment, looking back on it now, it really did prepare me for what I'm here to do today. And I'm just so grateful. But as the years went by, because my father was in Vietnam, it really played a toll on our family. It was a very, very dark time. I remember my mom literally at a point where she just didn't even want to go on living. You know, and back in those days, when you were in the military, you were not allowed to receive any correspondence. I mean, no text messaging, no emails, no phone calls. I mean, no letters, nothing. And so it was a very difficult time for our family. And, you know, that was the days when you actually were able to see what was really going on. You know, that's when journalists wore boots on the ground and that kind of thing. And so here I was at a very, very young age. I was exceptionally close to him. And just when he would come home, finally, I would just be such a pain in the butt, constantly be saying, I want to hear every detail about your experiences. And growing up and having a lens through the eyes of a military pilot is just an experience unto itself. He was a Renaissance man and very ahead of his time, and had three women, you know, three daughters, and really brought us up to just be really independent and stand on our own 2 feet. When I look back on it, I was a very shy and very insecure little girl, and I'm now recognizing that all the nights that he would stay up with me were to prepare me for where I am. I mean, it's just uncanny. And so as a consequence, I ended up, I'm going to jump way ahead because there's so much more to talk about, but in 2001, I had hit a wall in 1997. I was exceptionally involved in my corporate jobs and in management, and I was very successful in my career, and I was just waking up every single day going, if this is all life is all about, I don't want it anymore. I was so exhausted and tired, and I just was so tired of being on the wheel. And I took a huge leap of faith, and I jumped out of the system, and I jumped into, some people out there may have heard of Global Prosperity Group. Talk about a radical transition. I mean, I couldn't have gone from one extreme to another anymore. And what I ended up doing is I went to an offshore seminar, and for 5 days they sat down and showed you in black and white, even documentation as to how the United States of America was a corporation, how the military was basically fighting for oil rights and mineral rights, and it had not a damn thing to do with our sovereignty. How the U.S. government was, you know, basically not what we thought it was, and the IRS was a trust number 62. You know, I mean, just on and on and on. It was insane. And I came home and literally just couldn't even get out of bed for 3 weeks. Everything that I had ever been brought up to believe in had been literally shattered. And after the third week, I just made a decision, you know what, that's it. I've got to get as much truth out to the public as I can. And that's kind of where it all started, was in 1997. And then in 2001, I was driving home and I ended up having a horrific car accident. And I didn't listen to my guidance. And yet, after all the work and all of the healings that I've had, I actually made the choice to go ahead and do it. And it was directly associated with the Orion conflict long ago. And I ended up being in bed basically for about 3 years. And I didn't have a, what do you call that, a bag? You know, I had the seatbelt, but not the airbag. And ended up just having a really bad head-on collision. It was about total impact of, I don't know, 80 plus miles an hour. And that was when all the messages started coming in, because I was really literally injured from head to toe and I couldn't do a whole lot. And so I really got heavily into my spiritual walk. At that point, I was being told things that I was just having an extremely hard time accepting. And they were preparing me for what I would consider the projects and the missions that not only am I undertaking now, but that I'm going to be working on in the future. And one of them is directly correlated with Galactic Connection, working on 12 different, I'm going to refer to them as almost galactic airports, for lack of better terms, kind of like United Nations cities. And I'm very involved in that. I'm already working on it on the inner planes. But that's kind of the long term. The short term is I was completely harassed late at night in 2011. And from 2001 to 2011, I was in so much pain. And I spent every waking moment practically looking for healers or answers of how I could get out of pain. And I tried every alternative therapy known to mankind practically, and had one miraculous healing after another, only to find that I would have all this wave of pain come back up the next day. And I kept saying, I'm not a victim. I truly want to let go of this. What is this all about? And so the whole journey really taught me a lot about, you know, healing and the body and the relationship that we have with our pain, our past life stuff, and, you know, just how do we, and how it was a representation of what we're going through right now. It was almost like a little microcosm of what we all are experiencing. And that gave me a lot of insight into switching gears from being a very career, corporate-oriented, you know, type background and training into the healing arts. And I decided to go back to school. I ended up just, like, being ravenously turned on to alchemy to the point where I was so good at it, I was like, wow, I got to do this, and got really heavily into that and homeopathy. And that's kind of what started my healing walk. Well, then about 10 years later, I had an absolute amazing healing and spontaneously healed. And at that point, I started receiving visitors in the middle of the night saying, it's time to get started on your blog. And I didn't even really know what a blog was. I mean, I just really wasn't into that kind of stuff. And I kept arguing with them in my head, you know, I don't know who you are, I don't know what you're doing, but, you know, I'm not a blog kind of person. And this went on for about 5 months until I heard a very stern voice say, clearly, your definition of urgency is not the same as ours. And at that point, I literally got up out of bed and I started working on a blog. And that blog is what's Galactic Connection today, which is really literally one of the most popular blogs out there. And the reason for that is the whole purpose behind it is to really create a community to bridge three of the top truth-seeking fields, which is ufology, spirituality, and conspiracy, and try to bring those three to a common goal through the lens of some sort of commonality of a higher power and seeing things in a more gentle way through the eyes of a master. And that's always been my intention. So the other purpose is I was literally being directed to present opposite sides of the story and also to kind of vet out information, you know, check who was corruptible and who wasn't, and to basically present it in such a way where it was a really good amalgamation of news and articles that gave you a good pulse on the day of what was going on around the world. So that's where it all started, and then I got pushed into starting a radio show, and I didn't even want to do it. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm getting pushed into that, so I started my radio show. And then that went from audio to video. And then, you know, then the next thing I know, I'm making all these essences. And then the next thing I know, I'm getting involved in missions. And in 2012 is when the mission work really started getting heavy, which is the same time that I was pushed to start the blog. And I received a directive that I needed to start doing interviews with Cobra, and I know many of you are familiar with Cobra. And I did a very unique, you know, monthly recap of all of the news that was coming out across the board, whether it was ufology or conspiracy or politics or whatever, and just kind of put together like a question panel of perspectives of that through a galactic lens. Kind of got that going for a couple of years, and one thing led to another, and that led to even more so of me doing my own radio programs. And my first mission was actually here in California, and it was directly associated with a timeline and an old galactic war that was over gold. And then it led into 2013, where we did a 32-day mission across the United States. Didn't have a nickel to our name. I mean, totally got into our car with total faith, and we were told, you're going to be fine. And we had no one to take care of our dogs. We had four dogs. And we're like, are you crazy? This is the middle of the summer. I cannot imagine carrying four dogs in the middle of the summer across the United States. And they said, everything's going to be cool. And it was. And that whole trip was all about the American Indians, assisting them in timelines, helping a lot of the lost souls return back to where they wanted to go, and anchoring. I create and destroy timelines. It's like one of my gifts. And so I was sent to do quite a few missions during that 32 stint. And then in 2014, I was sent to Africa. And that was extremely monumental because that was one of the main, like I was sent up to Anki's temple, where I have a direct association with the Queen of Sheba. And I was sent there for very specific reasons regarding the timeline, and also it was one of the main power grids for the world. I also went to Adam's calendar, and we also shut down the Archon portal in the Congo, which was a mind-blowing experience. And then, God, where did I go in 2015? Somebody brought up Randy Kramer. 2015, we were at Ysetti. That was an interesting experience. We ended up closing down the portal up at Ysetti. James Gilliland was in a really bad way, and we ended up freeing a lot of the story goes there was about a million Ophthelians that were trapped, and they were screaming to get out and go back to their own galaxy. And so we ended up doing that. We also ended up penetrating some of the underground bases around the Seattle area and clearing out some of the experimentation facilities. Well, man, did I pay for that. I can tell you that one. And so this year, I just got back from a 30-day stint in Maryland and Virginia. And it was exceptionally victorious and had a lot to do with, I mean, I know we were involved with a lot of intel regarding Hillary. And, you know, I forgot which one of the ladies was talking about the special services, the special ops, but, you know, we do a lot of work with them below the surface, and they are such a key ingredient in why we're actually seeing the crossroads that we're crossing right now. We put so much emphasis on our galactic brothers and sisters, which I totally honor, but we could never be where we are today without our militia and underground military. So that was really monumental, and I asked for some physical proof, and I did receive it, and I'm watching some of the things unfold right now. Now, again, I say this all the time in my own interviews. That's just my bit. I know I network with a lot of other light workers, and it is fascinating to me how much we are all on the same page without consciously being aware of it. It's fascinating. And, you know, we could not all have done it if we had not orchestrated and been extremely organized. So a lot of light workers tend to say, oh gosh, we're terrible because we're not really as organized as we should be. And I actually remind people that, no, that's not the case. On the interplane, we are extremely organized. We are extremely strategically placed in a good position. So now with coming back from that, and I'm still working with it, on the 30 days, I was working heavily with Tori Smith. And what I told Tolik was, I couldn't figure out why I was one of the main ones interviewing people like Kevin Annette and Tori Smith, and they both have, you know, one humongous passion, and that is to bring down this, child trafficking, satanic ritual, you know, horrific rape and all that. To bring the entire system down. It wasn't just good enough to do just a little bit. I mean, I've had so many conversations with both of them. And so I started interviewing both of them, and I realized, you know, through my own guidance that I basically came here in this lifetime to do the same. So I've taken a lot of heat for that, but, you know, the three of us truly have paid a lot of, you know, just like anybody else on this panel, we've all paid some pretty hefty prices to bring forward the end of such horrific pain and suffering. But I can say that there was major, major victory in the United States of America. Major. And I'm honored to be here to say that. So, and I think the other thing I just want to say is, mm-hmm. you know, I got involved in implant removals, which was an absolute total divine experience when it happened. And, you know, to put out on the public airwaves around the world that we are a renowned implant removal service, you know, we do this in a very unique manner. And we were literally, trust me when I say, the individuals I worked with, we were literally visited. We were told very specifically what we needed to do because it had to be pure, had to be of absolute utmost integrity and intention, because we are the ones that are supporting the healers and the enlightened beings. So it's absolutely critical that we provided that avenue of purity. And so that just ended up blossoming. I mean, I didn't see any of this. It was like a freight train hit me. I didn't see any of it coming, you know. But, you know, now I literally have worked, I think I told Tolik this, I've worked, you know, sometimes like 22 hours a day for almost 4.5 years, you know, around the clock. I mean, sometimes I don't do that, but a lot of times I have. And now I'm just sitting back and seeing all the fruits of my labor, at least, unfolding in my life. And I just love the fact that we're doing stuff like this, because we've really finally crossed that threshold. We can, you know, this panel, in my opinion, is about all of those that are enlightened. We are really being shaken to start looking at things again completely differently. And this is truly, without a doubt, one of the most exceptional times to be alive. I'm just honored to be here, and I think that's all I have to say.
Oh, my goodness. I am honored to be speaking with you now, and I cannot wait to meet you in person. This is amazing.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Oh, no, thank you. And I do want to get your website in there again. It's thegalacticconnection.com.
Triple dot. Correct.
Galactic Connection, and that is 2 C's in the middle, folks.com. Thank you so much.
Yes, and we do have a very popular newsletter. You know, feel free to subscribe to that. We send out a really cool newsletter every day.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's fantastic. I will definitely be checking that out. Now, as we move along, Mr. Jim Nichols, You are next. Or Tolek, would you like to introduce Mr. Nichols?
No. I'm bringing up the rear on this one. At this point, I just wanted to say I had to comment on Alexander, one of the things you said, the sense of urgency. And so I have experienced that, especially with my video productions since 2010. It's like there's this little voice that says, okay, it's like, I think I'm done with the, I'm never going to make another video. And this little voice grabs me a week later and says, oh, no, you're not. You have more to do. And what's really interesting is, like, you know, I'm you know, noted as a UFO artist, painter. But I will tell you, quite frankly, it's like the little voice in my head says, you don't have time to paint anymore. You do not have time to paint. So get your ass on that computer and get to work making these videos. And it's like, that's what drives me constantly. And I think, what in the devil is going on here? But no, it's like I'm driven. I am driven by the sense of urgency also. But anyway, we have to do this. After listening to these you incredible ladies this evening, we must turn this over to Yvonne and let her tell her story a little bit, because she is also a presenter at this conference, and her story just dovetails so incredibly with you other ladies here that have been sharing tonight, and especially since today is a very special anniversary for Yvonne. So Groovy Bean, would you tell us a little bit about your presentation, please?
Sure, and thank you for the kind words. Okay, so without me, people that tune in often, you know I get all choked up. So yeah, today is very special. Whew. So yeah, 5 years ago today, I was in an accident that ignited a new me. I was in a serious rear ender, and from that rear ending, I sustained a traumatic brain injury. And it was 5 years ago today that I was reset. I was reborn and awakened, relearning how to walk, talk, chew food, swallow. And I'll tell you what, folks, I am way digging the now. Oh, man, I am still healing, but I'm so absolutely humbled and graciously amazed by the universe and Sophia herself for putting forth paths in front of me and walking this path and being on this path with all of you. Absolutely honored in every which way. And my discussion will be on oh my goodness, the old Yvonne. And I'll give you a little sneak peek with old Yvonne. She was born in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And old Yvonne has a very trauma-based story. The new Yvonne, that's me, whoop, whoop. I'll be talking about the old Yvonne and the new Yvonne and this journey and leaving the matrix itself, because through this traumatic brain injury, oh my goodness, it has been a gift. It has been a gift. So through leaving the matrix itself and what each person must do to find answers for themselves, that's
well, also, please, yeah. You share this same sense of urgency, because it's just this year you have yourself decided to do a radio show just out of the blue.
Okay, just to tell you folks, it because it is 5 years today, it took me 4 years to heal from, and I'm not completely healed, but when I say 4 years, brain injuries themselves, you have these kind of what I call layers of brain fog that lift, and through these lifts, the final one lifted was just a little over a year ago now that it lifted, and I was awake, and through that process of awakening, I was told, and I will say my higher self has given me directives and told me, you're going to be doing this, this, and this 1 year from now. And honest to Pete, folks, it has happened. This, and this. And from the radio station to my artwork to people that I have met, folks that I have interviewed, and there is an urgency, and much of it from my journey has to do with coming from within. So, yes. So,
Yvonne, yes? Yvonne, if I may, I'd like I'd like to introduce two pieces of information and a story that's somewhat similar to yours. And this is one of those, I guess it could be called a shout-out. A couple of weekends ago, a dear friend that's here with us in this panel tonight, 9 years to the day when she had her stroke that destroyed 25% of her brain, she competed in what's called a Spartan race. And I can't even begin to describe the grueling physical difficulty that she went through at 10,000 feet plus in Breckenridge, Colorado. Now, what makes this event unique, and I'll let her talk a little bit about this, is that her stroke happened in Breckenridge, Colorado. And 9 years later, she competed in a brutal, body-crunching event and finished. And it's a testament to Sierra and her spirit that she was able to do this with very little preparation. There seems to be this theme with all of you really gifted women that at some point in your lives a traumatic event occurred that radically changed your life. And Sierra, if you touch on your Spartan event just briefly and what it meant to you to do that 9 years later.
Thank you, Alexander, or Yvonne. You don't mind if I jump in here real quick for a moment?
No, go ahead. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. It was incredibly full circle in a 9-year period in a beautiful and powerful way. I was this ultra athlete, you know, from basketball to, I loved to mountain climb and to hike, mountaineer, raft. I was a rafting guide. I loved to push my body to this extreme, but it was like my body was always able to catch me. I was always able to just go and do the most extraordinary things because I just loved to be out in the nature and the deep wilderness and so on. And when the stroke came, it was incredibly difficult because I literally knew myself as Superwoman, could do anything, go anywhere, and I so appreciated and loved and relied, and I guess in a way took advantage or wasn't really clear about such a beautiful gift that had been given. And in with that stroke and the damage and the nerves and everything, and to come back, and it was 14.5 miles. We had over 3,700 vertical gain in this run. They basically ran us up to the top of the Breckenridge Ski Mountain, back down 3 different times. And then we had obstacles like spear throw, jumping over fire, climbing over walls, crawling under barbed wire. I mean, it really brought out that aspect of me that really thrives and has a lot of fun doing that kind of stuff in the military. It just was like this is so much fun. And when I found that there were these races where people actually got together and went and did this stuff, I thought, oh my goodness, this is incredible. These are my people. And so for 3 incredibly hard weeks, I trained and I pushed myself and I cared for myself. And it didn't happen overnight. It took me several years to actually plan to come back. But when and it took me 6 hours. And the fastest time for this particular thing, it's called the Spartan Beast, is 3 hours. So I think it did pretty good. And when I came there to the finish line and Tulloch was there and my dear friend Dawn and Terry was there, and I just looked at them. I was like, you know what? I've just got a couple more obstacles. And when I finished and my trainer put that medal around my neck, it was incredibly wonderful, because I think that I've been told so many times I can't and I won't, and I've had these incredible physical challenges and medical issues, to just say, you know what? No, I'm going to do what I know to do, and to be able to bring myself to a place to be at that physical strength and to be able to do what brings me so much joy, it was extremely fulfilling. So I want to say, I know that you, all the women that have been speaking tonight, can have anything that they want and can heal and can be extraordinary. And I'm such a believer in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's amazing. This is going to be such an amazing conference.
Yvonne, can I just jump in there? I can't get over the similarities in our stories here.
Mm-hmm. I know. When you speak, Alexandra, I am just like, I have to talk to you. I have to talk to you. There's so many things we have to talk about.
Because I went through a similar thing where, you know, they told me they didn't think I was going to walk the same. I was an extreme jock, you know, always pushing myself to the absolute limit, you know, I could do just about any sport. And that day when I was just completely lying in bed going, oh my God, you know, your whole identity is gone. I just totally relate to what you said.
And not only was my whole identity, but I lost my building business. I lost my home. I lost my vehicle. I started from nothing and had to rebuild my entire life all over again and my health and well-being. And it really, I'm so incredibly grateful for it.
Me too.
But listen, we do got to keep moving along here. We still have one or more speaker to talk to, and that would be Mr. Jim Nichols.
Holy cow, how do you follow this? Oh yeah, I'm going to be there too. And I have a new presentation. I'm going to be premiering a new video presentation that I just recently completed, which is just perfectly apropos to this whole discussion tonight, but it's called Human Consciousness, The Final Frontier. And it's I've been a UFO researcher for 35 years, and I've come to the conclusion that it's like, it's not so important about who the aliens are, it's what's important is who we are. It's like, it's time for us to rediscover who we really are, and stop walking around in this amnesia, like we don't really know who we are. And it's, oh, the aliens are going to save us. This is something outside of us that's supposed to rescue us. And it's like, no, I'm sorry. I think it's something from inside us. And that's what all the great philosophers and teachers, the greatest wisdom that they've shared for centuries. It's like know thyself. You have to discover who you are. And you can't relate to the universe properly until you know who you are. And it's like, and I think from that point on, it's like, okay, then we can start to connect with the galactic community, because I rather suspect that a lot of them know who they are. And it's like, well, how then can we relate to humans on Earth, because they don't have a clue who they are. So anyway, I thought this was a topic that really needed to be addressed. And so I'm going to be sharing that presentation. Fantastic. Human Consciousness, The Final Frontier, at the Transformational Shift Conference.
Very much looking forward to that. My goodness.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I agree with what you have to say. Yes. So,
Yvonne. Yes. Yvonne, if I might step in for a moment. I'm going to speak up on behalf of Adana, who was not able to make it this evening because we don't know where she got it, but a severe, severe flu, and she can barely talk, much less breathe right now. So I can never use her words, but I'll certainly at least share her sentiment. She might probably start by saying, Midakuye o Yasin. And for anyone that speaks Lakota or Dakota, those words translate to all my relations, or we are all related. And the contemporary meaning is we are all one. And as I've listened to all of these stories tonight, I am amazed at all the similarities, certainly among our female friends. She wanted me also to convey that her gifts and her story, even though she was born deaf at birth, I can tell you that her telepathic skills are off the charts. You know, yeah, I'm somewhat telepathic, but this woman's abilities are incredible. She is my literal spirit sister from the planet Dakota. But more importantly, whereas Alexandra, you and your gifts have to do with the healing of timelines and fixing of timelines, Adana's abilities specifically have to do with looking at the ley lines, feeling where there are energetic disharmonies, and using a tool, as an example, what she calls a crystal staff. It's wrapped by leather, it's copper, it has a double terminated crystal on top. She will be drawn to a certain area and fine-tune, adjust the energy in the planet. And she did it, traveled quite frequently all throughout the 90s, throughout the West and the Southwest, doing this ley line work. She has other gifts and skills as well, but she wanted to me to convey how much she, as an Earth human and as a visitor to this planet, loves this planet and this people, and she's here to help and is looking forward to her own contribution at the conference. So that's the maybe a little longer than she would have said, but that's the essence of what she was trying to say.
Mm, absolutely. Well, we do wish her well, and everybody again, please send her some healing light, as that is needed for lovely Adana. Yes. Now, Tolek, any last words to the fine folks before I wind it down here about the conference, tickets? You want to give another plug
to
the website?
No, yeah, the website is transformationalshiftevents.com. The best webpage link you can click on is conferences and events, and it tells everything about the people that will be speaking, their abilities. There's a speakers page. For those of you who are not familiar with all of us, you can click on the speakers page and read about us. But I'd rather make these last few minutes available to any of us who have any final thoughts or comments that we may not have gotten out in this conversation.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to speak up. There's your last chance.
Last call. No?
I think I just wanted to say that, especially after listening to all of us, I really truly believe this was divinely guided, as Tolek knows, to bring this particular group together. And we have transitioned from one phase where we were literally in a constant battle with oppositional forces, you know, where it was just trying to keep our head above water, trying to perfect our protection skills, trying to bring ourselves to a higher state of consciousness so that didn't affect us as much. And so many of us have learned from that. That's the one thing I really want to stress to people is, as painful or as you know, difficult and challenging as it's been, it's what's caused all of us to be in a higher state of consciousness now. And it's all part of the divine plan to kick us in the butt to really become masters again, to really acknowledge that we ourselves are the masters. And there is a very small, specific group on the planet who are going to do this, and it's all of us.
Alexander, would you call this a turning of the tide?
Oh, it's already done. I mean, I wish I could tell you some stuff. I don't know if anybody noticed, but I did some. I was very
well. My point is that we've all been kind of seem like we've been all kind of fragmented, you know, and now that we're all coming together and discovering each other, to me that seems like a turning of the tide.
Good point. Very good point. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say that. And I mean, I think we've transitioned, and it really started in June, and it really had its impact over the course of July and August. But the Lion's Gate, in my opinion, no question about it, because I have very close ties to the Lyrans and the Lion beings. And, you know, there's no question in my mind that that was the most monumental shift for most very enlightened friends that I have. I mean, some of my most absolutely together people that I know, that threw them for a loop. and it helped them clean house of any kind of niggling insecurities they might have, confusion they might have, not really being clear on their purpose, and they're really stepping forward, because that is what we need right now from the divinity of our own spirits, is we've got to be super crystal clear on where we want to go. We are creating our new heaven on earth right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm. And with that, my friends, I need to stop there. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, because, man, do we have some listeners out there. I think we're totally making a shift here. And I will officially say it. Jim Nichols, here it comes. Are you ready? Oh, I shift my pants. Yeah, I went there and I said it. And I hope you all do, too. And I hope you all come to the conference and shift your pants. That's with an F in it, folks. Do you get it? Anybody? Wink, wink, nod, nod. That's right. You all come to the conference, transformationalshiftevents.com. I want to thank Tolek, Jim Nichols, Stewart's Workflow, Mark Kimmel, Cheyenne Stone, Sierra Neblina, Alexandra, and I'm gonna do Midors. But you can go ahead and say your last name. Say, I have to do that now. I'm so sorry. Midos. That's right. Oh, my goodness. You all, this is Yvonne Palermo here, your host. I hope you tune in tomorrow night.